This is 1A. I'm John Donvan, host of Intelligence Squared U.S., sitting in for Joshua Johnson. Well, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has now issued the first indictments in the ongoing investigation into Russian interference with last year's election. Paul Manafort and Rick Gates turned themselves into the FBI this morning. We are going to be keeping an eye on this story as it continues to unfold. For now, though, we're going to start by talking with Shane Harris. He is a senior writer at the Wall Street Journal. He's going to help us understand what we know and what we don't know, because there's also an awful lot of that. Shane, thanks for coming on to 1A.
Hi, John. Good to be with you.
So, Shane, Paul Manafort and Rick Gates turning themselves into the FBI. What does it mean, bottom line?
Well, I think bottom line, this is a moment that a lot of people have waited for the first sign of where Robert Mueller is going with this investigation, which it's what we found here today is that they're essentially being indicted for failing to disclose work that they did for the government of Ukraine, the pro-Russia government of Ukraine, and then concealing and laundering the proceeds of that work to engage in various schemes in the United States to launder the money, buy real estate with it. Essentially, these are financial crimes. And also failure to notify the U.S. government that they were working on behalf of a foreign agent. And it spells out in some detail how they tried to even obscure that fact as well, setting up essentially corporations in the United States, or working with companies, I should say, in the United States, to look at it and make it look like they were the ones dealing with Ukraine rather than Mr. Manafort and Mr. Gates, and then finally lying about that to investigators when they were confronted with that information.
And remind us how Manafort and Gates found themselves in this predicament.
Well, they had been working from at least 2006 up to 2015 on behalf of the government of Ukraine, and essentially what they claimed was they were doing lobbying work for them, but the nature of this work and the extent of it had not been revealed until now. And this really started coming to light when Paul Manafort was the campaign chairman for then President, for then nominee Donald Trump last year, and there was a lot of press attention given to the work that Manafort had done in Ukraine and with the ousted government there. So certainly he had been under investigation, we know, for some time by the FBI for his work, but this really came more into the public spotlight given his prominence as Donald Trump's campaign manager.
The indictment doesn't mention the name Donald Trump anywhere, and I think makes only the most indirect references to the fact that he was working for the campaign at the time. And yet this investigation began as a result of suspicions of collusion between Russia and somebody in influencing last year's election. What are the implications, as far as you can see in this indictment, for this larger question of whether the Trump campaign or any campaign was involved with the Russians?
Well, I think it's not clear at all, as you say, from that point from the indictment. Donald Trump is not mentioned anywhere in this. But insofar as Paul Manafort was engaged with a pro-Russian government party and the government of Ukraine now ousted, I think that does raise a lot of questions about his own connections to Russia. And we should say those were questions that had been being asked before this indictment came out. That was an area that a lot of reporters and, of course, we suspected investigators were looking at. It's not immediately clear to me reading the indictment how that would connect back to Donald Trump. But clearly in Manafort, you have somebody who was linked in with this pro-Russian government in Ukraine. And now I think importantly here, with very serious charges filed against him and Mr. Gates, I think a lot of people suspect that this gives now Special Counsel Robert Mueller tremendous leverage if he is looking to see if Manafort can tell him other things about Russian collusion and the campaign.
The kind of money that's talked about in the indictment is staggering. I'm quoting, in total, more than $75 million flowed through the offshore accounts that are referenced elsewhere that the indictment alleges that Manafort set up through a series of shell companies. Quoting again, Manafort and Gates used money from these offshore accounts to pay for personal expenses, including his mortgage, children's tuition, interior decorating of his Virginia residence. But the part that I want to ask you to focus on, from the very first page of the indictment, it says, Manafort and Gates generated tens of millions of dollars in income as a result of their Ukraine work in order to hide payments from United States authorities. From approximately 2006 through at least 2016, Manafort and Gates laundered the money through scores of U.S. and foreign corporations, partnerships, and bank accounts. The point I want to bring you back to is 2006 through at least 2016 suggests that Manafort is accused of doing this while he was running Trump's campaign.
That's right. And we've seen some reporting around this to support that before this came out. So that does put this criminal activity alleged at a point where he was working in the campaign. And of course, it long predates that. I think that is really the place now to focus on. And the question, the immediate question, of course, would become for the White House is were they aware at all of the business ties and the work that he was doing on behalf of the Ukraine government. I think they've said publicly to now they had no knowledge of that. But there is a lot of information here, as you suggest, a huge amount of money. And importantly, this indictment goes through all of the various accounts, many of them in Cyprus, some of them in the Grenadines and the Seychelles, that Gates and Manafort were using in this conspiracy. I think at the very least, in the near term, it raises serious questions about what due diligence the Trump campaign was doing when it hired Paul Manafort to be its campaign manager.
Back in September, the host of this program, Joshua Johnson, talked with Manafort's spokesman, Jason Maloney, about Mueller's investigation and its connection to Manafort.
I appreciate your goal to try to be clear about this story. Can we be clear about the core detail? Did Mr. Manafort offer briefings on the presidential race to this Russian billionaire? Yeah or no?
Joshua, I'm not even going to get into that, but you know what Paul
okay,
has
then
asked?
We should, then we should Paul move has, on to something else, because it's a real simple question, and I would really like a direct answer.
It is a real simple question, but let the transcripts of any intercepts be revealed. Release the emails. Let people make up their own minds.
Did that suggest to you, or does the situation today, rather, Shane, suggest to you that we've moved forward from that moment, that we actually know some of the answers to the questions that were being dodged?
Oh, I think I remember that interview very well that Joshua did, and I think this raises a host of questions about that. I mean, we know from reporting, the billionaire being referred to there is a man named Oleg Deripaska, who Paul Manafort had done business with, and at the time that he was working in the campaign, was reaching out to Deripaska and essentially offering to give him insights or somehow give him information from within the campaign. Deripaska is not mentioned in this indictment, but insofar as Paul Manafort was engaged in this kind of potentially criminal activity, was and then trying to benefit with Russian oligarchs from his position on the campaign, I think that now is a more even more relevant question than it was when Joshua asked it.
Later on in the show, we're going to be talking about financial regulations and who watches Wall Street. Right now, though, we are talking to the Wall Street Journal's Shane Harris about the latest in the Russia investigation. Email us 1A@WAMU.org or comment on our Facebook page or tweet us. We're at 1A. We have a question comes in from a listener named Shelby from Birmingham, Alabama. What is the meaning of the first count of Mr. Manafort's indictment? And I'm opening up my copy of it. That first count, it's conspiracy against the United States. What does that mean?
Essentially, what they're alleging here is that they set up this network of companies to avoid paying taxes, and there are separate charges for failure to report their status as foreign agents. But when you set up kind of offshore accounts like this, you are supposed to disclose that when you file your taxes every year so that the government knows if you are, in fact, trying to move money offshore and what you might be doing with it. So that's sort of a setting the stage kind of charge, and then it goes on from there into the more detailed allegations about specific laundering activity and failure to report their work on behalf of the government of Ukraine.
What's the White House reaction been so far?
I have not seen anything coming out right now, but of course, consistently, the president has called this a hoax, the Russia investigation, that is. They have tried repeatedly to distance themselves from Paul Manafort, saying he only worked on the campaign for a brief period of time. And of course, over the weekend, the president was, I think perhaps in response to reports by the Journal and CNN first and other places that the indictments were pending, was really attacking the whole investigation and trying to move people's attention back to things that he said Hillary Clinton may have been engaged with Russia, as well as her own email problems, which of course had been settled sometime last year.
I mean, on the point of the White House distancing itself from Manafort, we have a comment on our Facebook page from Kay Marie, writes, anyone who believes Trump would hire a campaign manager he did not know all there was to know about, well, I'd be willing to sell them swampland in the desert. At our website, Politics Watcher says, Trump really knows how to pick him, doesn't he? We can learn a lot about somebody by looking at the kind of person he surrounds himself with. So some negative response to all of this from our listeners. On the other side, by the way, you mentioned Trump trying to put the focus or working to put the focus on the Democrats and Hillary Clinton. He's tweeted, great job by Michael Caputo on Fox and Friends. And we have a clip, I believe, of the part of the Fox and Friends program that he was referring to.
It went from being, you know, desktop research into Donald Trump's businesses and apparently many other candidates to being a dossier put together by spies. Right. It sounds like a lot of collusion to me.
What do you mean? Collusion with the Russians and with the Fusion GPS and the Clinton campaign?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Clinton campaign hired an attorney to hire Fusion GPS to hire a spy to buy intelligence information from Russian spies. I mean, you call it opposition research only when it's got Democrat fingerprints on it. When the Republicans were meeting with sources who claimed to have bad information about Hillary Clinton, that was collusion. Except this time there are real Russian spies involved, and to me it sounds like they were doing something really bad.
That's Michael Caputo, a Republican strategist. Where does this go next in the next 30 seconds we have left, Shane?
Well, I think that the allegation of the whataboutism and the trying to make the dossier somehow a purely Democratic product, now this gets overshadowed. This is the former campaign manager of the President of the United States engaged on, you know, in very serious alleged criminal activity. I think now the question is going to be, as we're trying to explore here, how, if at all, does this connect to this broader issue of collusion that Robert Mueller has been investigating?
That's Shane Harris, senior writer for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Shane, for joining us.
Thanks a lot, John.
After the break, we're going to shift gears and talk about the future of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I'm John Donvan, in for Joshua Johnson. Great to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.